Time for our weekly look at the top news in national politics. Congress is still looking for a solution to the ongoing government shutdown. President Trump's personal lawyer is walking back comments he made related to the special counsel's investigation into the Trump campaign.
And the president is getting criticized by lawmakers for remarks aimed at Senator Elizabeth Warren.
We want to hear your thoughts on Congress and the shutdown at 800-642-1234. Is there a compromise you want to see to bring this to an end? Should Democrats agree to vote on bills even if they include border wall money? Should President Trump set aside his demands and agree to fund the government? Do you see one side as ultimately responsible for keeping the shutdown going? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org.
Dan Neuhauser is a staff correspondent for the National Journal. Dan, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Dan, let's start with the latest on the government shutdown. It sounds like party leaders in the Senate have agreed to vote on a couple of bills tomorrow that could end the shutdown. What's being brought up for a vote?
Well, to say that they could end the shutdown is a very optimistic point of view at this point. These seem to be increasingly looking like show votes that are not expected to pass. There's two bills. One is a three-week continuing resolution that would basically reopen the government at current funding levels for 3 weeks and give negotiators time to try to work out a deal. Maybe cooler heads will prevail in that time, and we could reopen the government on more of a long-term basis. The other one is becoming more controversial by the day. It tracks with President Trump's the deal that he outlined in the speech that he recently gave, and it was reported at the time that this was going to be a sort of a short-term fix for the so-called Dreamers and for people who have temporary protective status. But now, the devil is in the details. What this bill really does, it makes certain reforms to these programs that Democrats are very unhappy with at this point.
And as you stated, President Trump had proposed a temporary reprieve on deportation for those in the DACA program in exchange for border wall money. So let's take a listen to Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer addressing that yesterday.
Now, the president said his proposal was a reasonable compromise. In fact, it is neither reasonable nor a compromise. There was no serious negotiation with any Democrat about what went into the proposal. That's because the proposal was never intended to pass. It's only a thinly veiled attempt by the president to save face. Anyone who looks at the legislation can tell it was designed to fail.
Dan, do you expect the rest of the Democratic caucus to hold that view as well? Or could there be some that break away and consider accepting smaller concessions from the president?
Well, there could be some, but I don't think there will be enough for this thing to pass. If you look at some of the details, it's not a straight short-term extension of or reprieve, as you put it, for Dreamers. What it does is it would make the Dreamers have to reapply, and it would bar any new applicants, people who aren't already in the pipeline, from applying. And it adds higher hurdles, like it would require for Dreamers who are not students to be at 125% of the poverty line. So those who are poor essentially wouldn't be eligible for this. And there would be additional fines added on the temporary protective status. It takes away the status from Nepal, Sierra Leone, Liberia, Guinea, and Sudan, and adds some of the same hurdles that I just mentioned. Not to mention that, it reforms the asylum system. Anybody who comes from Honduras, Guatemala, or El Salvador seeking asylum would be sent home without exception, which actually flies in the face of international law. So there's a lot of things that people can point to here, who Democrats can point to here, to give them a reason not to vote for it. That said, if they want to vote for it, it could be a sort of an inoculation against a further political attack down the road. It does include $12.7 billion in disaster aid funding. And people from some of those states who, that need that funding may be inclined to support this, for those reasons. But just on the details of the immigration side of it, I'm not sure that's going to be very enticing for Democrats.
Dan Neuhauser is a staff correspondent for the National Journal, and we are talking about this week's news in Washington, including the government shutdown. Now, early in this whole shutdown debacle, there were bipartisan measures to fund the government without a border wall, but those wouldn't get signed by President Trump. Is he still the lone holdout here, or are Republican lawmakers voting more in his image or going along with what he wants recently?
I think the general trend is that Republican lawmakers will not go along with anything that the president will not sign. That's the general trend. There have been a couple of people who have peeled off here and there, and some moderate Republicans in the House mostly have voted for some of these piecemeal bills to reopen the government. And again, it seems mostly for political reasons, because they will be the most vulnerable members in the elections in 2 years, and they don't want to have this as a stain on their record. But I think this really comes down to, in my estimation, two people, Nancy Pelosi and Donald Trump. Donald Trump has been very clear that he wants $5.7 billion, if not more, for a physical border barrier. And Nancy Pelosi has said that the border barrier is a non-starter. Now, the latest on Pelosi's position, some of her deputies have been floating $5.7 billion, which is the same money that the president wants. But they are floating that to pay for what they're calling a smart wall, things like technology, like drones along the border, more agents, more immigration judges to expedite proceedings down there. But anything but a physical barrier, which they think is a waste of money and just frankly wouldn't work and wouldn't be feasible in a lot of parts of the border, whether it be because there are private landowners, national parks, state parks, and other things that are impediments to actually building there. So we'll see how that's received. That just came out today. But again, if Trump doesn't move away from the position of having a physical barrier, I'm not sure how this thing gets this thing gets solved.
We want to hear your thoughts on Congress and the shutdown. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Kevin in Deerfield. Good afternoon, Kevin. Welcome to Central Time. Hello.
Thank you. I thought the way things were supposed to work was if the president has an initiative, a policy initiative, or a budget item that they want, they make a proposal to Congress, and Congress either votes it up or down. And you know, I don't remember President Obama didn't get everything he wanted for the Affordable Care Act, but he didn't shut the government down over it. What's the difference here?
Kevin, thank you so much for the call. What is the difference, Dan?
Well, most times when you're making policy, you know, you start with committee hearings and you examine the issue, you have experts in, and then you put together legislation, whether that be, you know, from the chairman of the committees or with leadership's input or the other way around. And then you pass that, and of course, the White House will have say in it. But ultimately, the policy is largely driven by members of Congress. And you know, you corral votes and you pass it, and it gets to the president's desk. And it's not going to be everything that the president wants often, but you know, you make compromises. I mean, the art of crafting legislation is the art of compromise. Here in this case, as I mentioned, you know, just a second ago, that we are at a position where the what the president wants and what Democrats are willing to pass are you know, complete opposites, and it just does not seem. It seems you know, to put it one way, there's a wall between the two sides that they're just not able to get through.
Now, Republicans had control of both houses of Congress until the midterm elections. What got in the way of approving wall funding at that time?
Part of it is that it wouldn't have passed in the Senate. They would have needed 60 votes, which would include some Democrats. To pass that. There had been a lot of reporting throughout that period that President Trump had pushed for it. Leaders, Speaker Ryan at that time and Leader McConnell had told him, well, we'll do it next time, we'll do it next time. Now it seems that the Democrats have taken over the chamber, and President Trump is fed up with the lack of action on it and has decided that now is the time to make his mark.
We're talking with Dan Neuhauser, staff correspondent for the National Journal, looking at some of the week's big political news.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Weigh in on the shutdown. How do you want it to end? Should it end soon? Are you hopeful? And here's a question. Do you think a State of the Union address should be delivered to Congress and the nation during the shutdown? Speaker Pelosi and President Trump have different and opposite answers to that question. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org.
We'll continue this conversation after this short break. Stay with us here on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Darrell Conner. Right now, we continue the conversation with Dan Neuhauser, staff correspondent at the National Journal, looking at some of the week's big political news. You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 if you have a question or a statement for Dan, not only about the government shutdown, but other news in this week in Washington. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Julie, in Partyville. Good afternoon, Julie. Welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Here's my question. I recently was reading an article, I believe it was USA Today, about the shutdown, and it stated that 420,000 federal workers are going to be working because they're essential workers, and they're not going to get their paychecks, of course, until something is signed and the budget is approved. But there are 380,000 workers who aren't working, and appropriations were signed to pay them back pay when the shutdown ends. My question is, what's the logic in that? If we're going to pay these 380,000 workers for not working anyway, why don't we just keep them working and keep our national parks open and so forth?
Julie, thanks for the call. Dan, what is your response to Julie's question?
Well, the short answer is that it's against the law to do so. You cannot cause people to work without getting paid, without an appropriation, unless they are considered essential workers. Largely, those are workers whose jobs have to do with national security and other things that are deemed essential, like that. But it is true. It does seem sort of pointless and disjointed that you're going to send people home and lose all that productivity and lose all the good work that people could be doing, but pay them anyway. Of course, the other side of that is you could not pay them. That would be incredibly disruptive to people who work for the federal government, and really that's just bad business.
Now, both President Trump and the Democrats have said they're not going to budge on their positions. Is this ultimately going to come down to both sides calculating the political costs of not compromising?
Well, I wish I could tell you. I've covered a couple of these shutdowns before, and there always seems like a logical way out. It seems like at the end there's a compromise position that could be had, or something that somebody's asking for seems a bridge too far, and they're going to have to give it up at some point. But in this case, it's just hard to predict because it relies so much on the whims of President Trump. Is he going to keep holding out for this wall or not? Does he believe that the public sentiment is turning against him or not? Who is he trying to do this for whose benefit? Is it for his conservative base? Is it for national security? Does he care that his general approval ratings are plummeting from the mid-40s right now, according to some polling, down into the 30s? So really, I think it depends so much on one person that it's just hard to predict.
Let's take another phone call in regards to the shutdown. Let's go to Justin in Sun Prairie. Good afternoon, Justin. Welcome to Central Time. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Did you have a question for Dan?
Well, I wonder if it's more of a question or more of a statement, but Dan, I have to tell you, I'm married to a federal employee. We're directly affected in our household by this shutdown. She is reluctant to be any kind of face of this, but I've reached out repeatedly, whether it's through social media channels or by email or on the phone. I contacted Ron Johnson at his Oshkosh, Madison, Milwaukee, and Washington, D.C. offices today to express my concern about federal workers who I feel are maybe some of the best patriots, maybe some of the best representatives of people that care about the workings of our government in this country and how they're being used and manipulated as pawns by this president. And I feel helpless. I feel like representative democracy has maybe lost its meaning. And I just feel really, really discouraged that it has a direct impact on our household, and I know many others. And I feel like, why is the issue of security on the border, which has been going on for decades, how is that a national crisis now? How is that tied to the livelihood of federal workers and their families? And I guess that's my question is, why are these issues being related? Why are we being used as pawns in Donald Trump's egotistical power play to relate his name to a wall?
Justin, thank you for the call. Dan, your response.
Yeah, Justin, I'm so sorry to hear about what you're going through, and you're correct to be angry. This has been a tactic that has been more prevalent in recent years to try to shut down the government to try to extract concessions from the other side. And the reason that happens is because there's only so many so-called must-pass bills that Congress has to pass every year, and the most surefire one is an appropriations bill. So certain members or parties or in some cases even a president can say, I'm not going to approve this bill unless you put something else on it. And so there's a hard deadline there. It's leverage, basically. And really the name of the game here is leverage. And it's really unfortunate that so many hundreds of thousands of workers are being caught up in this really what is a political fight. You have every right to be frustrated by that, and you should continue reaching out to your members of Congress and senators to let them know how you feel.
Dan, can you address the back and forth on the State of the Union between State of the Union address between President Trump and Speaker Nancy Pelosi?
Yeah, so now this ceremonial speech is being drawn into this this political food fight too. Nancy Pelosi and Donald Trump are they really don't seem to get along, to put it mildly. We saw that on full display a couple weeks ago when Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer visited the White House. But now they're kind of using the powers that they have against each other. So Nancy Pelosi is trying to hit Trump where, in her estimation, where it hurts. Take away his TV time. Take away the part of the year where all eyes will be on him and everybody has to listen to what he says. In a response, Donald Trump took away a delegation flight that she was going to take to Afghanistan to visit troops and said that, you need to stay here and negotiate. I'm not going to approve this airfare. Really, it seems, this fight is being fought on another plane here.
Now, moving on to the Mueller investigation, Rudy Giuliani, a member of President Trump's legal team, has had a lot to say this week about talks Trump had with his former attorney, Michael Cohen, about a development project in Moscow. But he's had to walk back some of those comments. Can you remind folks what he's been saying?
Yeah, so Rudy Giuliani was on television, and he said that some of these talks went on well into 2016. He said that sometime in October, November 2016, which would have been well into, if not beyond, the campaign and election. Now, he of course, walked that back, I mean, because it would be inappropriate, to say the least, for a campaigning president to try to negotiate with a foreign adversary a business deal during a campaign. This has become a part of what's being asked about on TV, in part because of a BuzzFeed report citing law enforcement sources that said Trump directly asked his one-time lawyer, Michael Cohen, to lie to Congress about that communication. And that would, of course, be a huge deal because that is a federal crime, and lawmakers have already come out and said that if that's true, that would be an impeachable offense. But now there is some question about whether or not it is true. A spokesman for Robert Mueller, the special counsel, said parts of the story are not accurate. Which parts? We don't know. So that's where we stand on that. And Michael Cohen was set to testify early next month in front of the House Oversight Committee, where members wanted to ask him directly, did the president at that time the nominee for the Republicans directly tell you or ask you to lie to Congress. But now Cohen has postponed his testimony because Giuliani and Trump are threatening him and his family. So this is really getting ugly, getting dirty, and there are more questions than there are answers.
Dan, we have about a minute and a half left, so I wanted to ask you about the president's tweet last week about one of his political foes, Senator Elizabeth Warren. He once again referred to her as Pocahontas and suggested she film campaign commercials from Wounded Knee. Can you tell us a little bit about the reaction that got?
Well, this comes right as the first Native American women ever elected to Congress were seated just this month. And one of those women, Deb Haaland, is considering bringing up some sort of legislation to express her disapproval of those remarks, which she considers to be extremely racist. She says that he's using the names of Native American women as racial slurs. Now, whether this is going to be a condemnation in a full force or more of a slighter, which is called a resolution of disapproval, we don't know yet. But it seems those comments have really not gone over well over here on Capitol Hill.
Dan, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you.
Dan Neuhauser is a staff correspondent for the National Journal. He was with us for a look at some of the week's top news in national politics. So there's still time for you to share your thoughts on the government shutdown. Should House Democrats agree to vote on a bill that includes wall funding? Should the wall issue be addressed separately from other spending? Let us know what you think. Send us an email at ideas@wpr.org. You can also go to the Ideas Network Facebook page. Send us your thoughts on the government shutdown.